May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Endings and beginnings, death and life. The recounting of our salvation history, which we just heard, the story of our relationship with God, of God's unfailing faith towards us, and of our unfailing infidelity to God, ended in a desolate valley full of desiccated bones. Everything we have heard from God's first utterance at the opening of the book of Genesis to that point has led us to this day, now come to a close, this holy Saturday, which ended at dusk just now. Through drama and majesty and power and prophecy and falling and failing and grace and trying again, we find ourselves huddled in the dark of this night. This night. This most holy night. This is the night that we live and experience and know in our bones the truth of St. John's bold proclamation that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the night. This is the holy moment when all creation holds its breath. Almost, not yet, but almost. For in the dry and barren valley in which nothing but the pieces of the dead remain, God is about to do a thing that only God can do. An extraordinary thing. In the midst of death, out of things that are themselves dead, God is about to make life. And when the sun has risen after this night, the tomb will stand empty. Dry bones, an empty tomb. Easter. Ezekiel lived as a prophet among the exiles in Babylon, and he lived to see the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem while he was still in exile. He was called by God to speak God's truth to God's people at a time and in a place where there was no hope. Not a shred of evidence even to suggest that God's people might survive as a nation beyond the current generation. Their kingdom was dead, their culture was dead, their temple was destroyed, their population decimated, and thousands of their people torn from their homes and lands and held in captivity in a foreign empire. The New Testament we just heard picks up at a time and a place that was equally desolate. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome got up early on the first day of the week and took spices to the tomb of their beloved to anoint his dead body. Their teacher had been brutally and very publicly killed by the machinery of empire, the disciples driven into hiding and expecting to be killed soon themselves. Their movement was destroyed, their Messiah crucified, dead, and buried. And all that had happened by Friday evening. On Saturday, silence, stillness. On that Sunday morning, these women, like Ezekiel centuries before, came to a place where there was no hope. They didn't even know how they could possibly get the massive stone out of the way so they could finish their burial rites. We in this community know something about this particular kind of silence and stillness. In the past couple of years, we have endured so many losses, brothers and sisters whom we love dearly, yet see no more. This is not the silence or stillness of peace and tranquility. Rather, a stunned silence, a stillness that comes from being unable to move, from being numb with shock and grief. The kind of stillness and silence we might expect to find in a barren valley full of dry bones. It is into this silence that God bids Ezekiel to speak. It is into this silence that God bids us to speak. It is into this hopeless, desolate silence that God proclaims, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live." It is into this numb stillness that God commands, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live." It is in this still, silent darkness that we remember the beginning when a wind from God, the Spirit of God, the very breath of God, swept over the face of the waters, and where there had been a formless void, there was light and life. This is what our God does. This is what our God will always do. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. This is what our God will always do. This is what our God calls us to do. For like Ezekiel, like Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, we are given a part to play. God invites Ezekiel into God's remarkable action of making life where there had been death. He does not command Ezekiel merely to witness what God is doing. God commands Ezekiel to speak God's word, and it is through Ezekiel that God makes life from death. Likewise, the angel in the tomb invites the women not merely to bear witness. To do that, yes, look, there is the place they laid him. But not just that, also to act, to take part. Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him just as he told you. In a moment, we will renew our baptismal vows. I implore you to remember that in the waters of baptism, you died with Christ and were buried with him. And just as God raised Christ from the tomb on the third day, Christ raised you to new life. He saved us. He saved us all. The tomb is empty. We were dead, and now we live. Rejoice and sing now, all the round earth, bright with a glorious splendor, for the darkness has been vanquished by our eternal King. Let us all, therefore, go forth from here boldly to proclaim the good news.